Shalom to our alumni of Midrashat Lindenbaum. This is Menachem Liebtag. I'd like to share with you a short thought in regard to Parshat Shavua, Parshat Vayeshev, and the story of Mikrat Yosef, and the special Mizmor, Tilim Lamed, Psalm 30, that we add to our prayers on Hanukkah for the simple reason because it begins with Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LaDavid. This is a psalm that was composed by King David in relation to the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash. When you read that psalm, we read it every morning before Baruch Shamar, it didn't seem to have anything to do with building the Beit HaMikdash. It's simply a praise of God for saving someone in trouble. But when you look at the Mizmor, pay attention, I'll read it several lines. There are many allusions to the story of Mikrat Yosef, to the story of the selling of Yosef. First of all, the word in Hebrew for a pail is a dli. When you want to lift water out of a well, you need a pail, you put it down, and you lift it up. That act is called litlot in Hebrew. And therefore, aromimcha adonai kidi litani, I'm going to praise you, Hashem, because you have lifted me up, but not lift me up high, but rather, you brought me from below the ground to above the ground. V'lostimachta oivayli, and you didn't let my enemies rejoice over me. And then he continues, Hashem, I pray to you, and you healed me, you saved me. And now listen carefully. Hashem helita minshon nafshi chitani miur debor. You've brought me alive from Sheol, and you brought me up from someone who is thrown down into a pit. The phrase miur debor obviously reminds us of the story of Yosef, because they threw Yosef into a bor, into a pit. And then we praise God, because kirega biapo, someone could be in immediate danger, but our life, chayim b'rtzono, be'erev yolim bechi v'labokerina, in the evening, you go to sleep crying, in the morning, we're happy. In other words, someone is in terrible trouble, but can be saved immediately. And then it says, he continues about his prayer, that he cried out to God and God saved him. The next line, ma betza bedami b'riteo shachat. Remember what Yehuda said, ma betza ki naroka tachinu. What did we gain by killing our brothers? And therefore, ma betza bedami echoes Yehuda in relation to wanting to sell Yosef instead of killing him. B'riteo shachat, when I'm going down, saying, what good would my death be? I wouldn't be able to praise you. Hayotcha afar hayad gidamitecha. Can someone who is buried, who is not alive, can he praise you? Of course, David is known for praising. And then he calls out to God, Shema Hashem v'choneni Adonai hei yozer li. The Mizmor calls out to God and help me when I'm in trouble, as God helped Yosef. Hafachta mispiri l'maholi, just like in the story of Yosef. He was in the depths of trouble. He was sold into slavery. He was in jail. But God came and saved him. Then pitakta saki v'tazen simcha. Pitakta si, you opened up we have that same word of the Torah Tasak in the story of Yosef and his brothers when he puts money and hides it in their sacks and they open it up. But the word Liftoach Tasak, Patach Tasiki, again reminds us of the story of Yosef and his brothers. And the last line, Lamani Zemercha Chavod Hashem Velo Yidom, in order that we can praise you in your glory, O God, Hashem Elohai Lo'olam Odeka, Hashem my God, I will praise you forever. That's the reason for Yudah's name. Remember, Yudah is called Yudah upon Odet Hashem. Leah says, this time I'm going to thank God. And I see in this Mizmor a balance between two statements relating to Yudah himself, Hashem Elohai Lo'olam Odeka, and Betza Bedami, which Yudah said about Yosef, and Yosef himself, he's your debor, and the idea of Liftoach Sak. Of course, the topic of the Mizmor is not Mechirat Yosef, but I think the psalmist here is alluding to the story of Yosef and his brothers, especially Yosef, Mo Yehuda, and using imagery from that story in the relationship to praying to God when in trouble. What does that have to do with building the Beit HaMikdash? Well, if you remember, David HaMelech wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, but Hashem told him, not you, but your son. In Sefer Shmuel, when David asked to build the Mikdash, the first thing when he becomes king over all of Israel, he unites the nation and he brings the Aron to the new capital, to Yerushalayim. After bringing the Aron successfully to Yerushalayim, then he asked God to build the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And God's answer in Shmuel Bet Perek Zayin is not a negative no, but rather not yet. And as David explains to his son Shlomo in Devar Yamim, he tells him, I wanted to build a house for God, but God told me, you're living in a time of war. Tamim rabim shafachta arsa lefanai, even though you fought great melchama gdolot asit, you fought great wars, but you're living in a time of war. You're still fighting your outside enemies, and there was a lot of civil war in your time. And you can't build a house for God. You can't go public with this idea of being God's people until other nations look up to you and respect you. So sometimes you need to fight wars when the very existence of Israel is at stake. And you have to fight wars of survival. You need to fight. But at times like that, you can't open your gates to your neighbors, to your outside nations, because they don't look up to you. They don't respect you. God told David, you'll have a son. His name will be Shlomo. Why? Because Shalom b'sheket yabemav. He'll be living in a time of peace. And that time of peace will enable him to build this house for God. And also, you in your own life, you were part of a terrible civil war between Shaul and David, between the tribes of Ephraim and Yehuda. And in fact, when David's running away from Yerushalayim, Shimei ben Gera calls him Tzeitzei Isha Damim. He's calling David, you're responsible for all these civil wars that are going on in the last some 15, 20 years of the history of Am Yisrael in the time of Shaul and David. And David tells his men, that's not Shimei talking, that's God talking. Hashem told him to curse me because David takes responsibility. And therefore, what I want to suggest is in order to build the Beit HaMikdash based on what David HaMelech tells Shlomo, in order to dedicate a temple, we must be living in a time when everyone gets along with each other, both within the tribes of Israel, within the different factions of Israel. We can have different ideas and opinions, but we have to learn to respect one another and get along with one another and work in unison together. And at the same time, we have to be in an international position where other nations look up to us. We're no longer fighting wars with our neighbors, but rather our neighbors respect us for the way we're living our lives and the way we interact with other countries as well. Therefore, in order to build a house for God, it's not enough to have the materials to build it, to have the wealth to build it, and have the land to build it, and the desire, but also we have to be living in a time period where there's harmony among the people and among the tribes of Israel, among its different factions. At the same time, we have to be living in a time of prosperity and a time when other nations look up to us. And it could be when David, in his old desire to build a house for God, knowing that he himself can't build, but his son, Shlomo, will be able to build it if he fills the conditions of peace and quiet in his time and unity, and of course following God and keeping his mitzvot, then he invokes this imagery. We see the very similar theme in the Haftarah for Parsha Vayigash, which we're going to read in several weeks, in chapter 37 in the book of Yechezkel, where God tells Yechezkel to take a branch or a tree, a piece of wood from a tree, and write on one of them, one eighth on one tree, write Ephraim, and the other one, write Yehuda. And graft those two trees together and make them one. And again, that's imagery that Yechezkel is talking about in his nevot of comfort, in his nevot of nechama, about what's necessary in order for Am Yisrael to return and rebuild the temple and rebuild the second temple, because Yechezkel was living in the time of exile of the first temple. And one of the prerequisites is being able for Yosef and Yehuda, two great leaders who unfortunately were at ends with one another, who ultimately, in light of their life experiences, learn finally to get together with one another and work together. And David may be invoking that imagery to make sure that when the time comes to rededicate the temple, as we talk about on Hanukkah, we have to remember that dedication of the temple is not only military victories, but being inspired by the light of Hanukkah, by the light of the Torah and the mitzvot, to remember how we have to behave as a people, how we have to learn to get along with one another, respect each other's opinions and argue maturely, but act in a way that other nations look up to us, and in that manner we can sanctify God and be worthy of lighting candles in the Beit HaMikdash. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbat and a Chanukah Sameach.